I was studying book 4. I think there was another book 5. That's a kind of poems. Today Jesus came to live in my heart. He descended from his throne on high. The great Lord, the creator of all things, and he came to me in the form of bread. O eternal God, in my bosom enclosed, possessing you, I possess all heaven. And with the angels, I sing to you, holy. I live for your glory alone. Not with a seraph do you unite yourself, O God, but with a wretched man who can do nothing without you. But to him you are ever merciful. My heart is your abode, O King of eternal glory. Rule in my heart and be Lord, and in the palace of splendor untold. O great, incomprehensible God, who have deigned to abase yourself so, humbly adore you, and beg you in your goodness to save me. Another phrase. O sweet Mother of God, I model my life on you. You are, for me, the bright dawn. In you, I lose myself and raptured. O Mother, Immaculate Virgin, in you the divine ray is reflected. Mid storms, this you teach me to love the Lord, O my shield and defense from the foe. This is Krakow, August 10, 1937. O sacred host, fountain of divine sweetness, you have strengthened to my strength. You give strength to my soul. Oh, you are the omnipotent one who took flesh of the Virgin. You come to my heart in secret, beyond reach of the groping senses. The next paragraph, Krakow, August 10, 1937. All of you, Jesus, I decide to adore your mercy with every beat of my heart, and to the extent that I am able to encourage souls to trust in your mercy, as you yourself have commanded me, O Lord. In my heart, in my soul, there is a dark night. My spirit has come up against an impenetrable wall that hides God from me. But this darkness is not of my doing. Strange indeed is this torture of which I fear to write in full. But even in these states, I am trying to be faithful to you, O my Jesus. Always and in all things, my heart beats for you alone. So there is always the darkness of soul, right? The experience. I think that all the Greek souls, St. Teresa of Avila, you know, and Mother Teresa of Calcutta, darkness of soul. That's a kind of experience that, you know, you can't understand. Forever they experience the presence of God, and suddenly they don't feel anything. Just the same as Jesus on the cross. He cried out, God, God, why have you forsaken me? Surely God the Father never forsake his Son. But the kind of feeling, it's kind of darkness, hopeless. You see, this is a kind of teaching us to be humble. August 10, 1937. I came back today from Raqqa to Krakow. I feel very ill. Only Jesus knows how much I am suffering. During these days, I have very much resembled Jesus crucified. I have armed myself with patience in order to explain to each sister why I was not able to stay there. That is, because my health had become worse. Even though I knew very well that certain sisters would inquire, not out of sympathy for my sufferings, in order to add to them. Jesus, what darkness is enveloping me and what nothingness is penetrating me. But my Jesus, do not leave me alone. Grant me the grace of faithfulness. Although I cannot penetrate the mystery of God's visitation, it is in my power to say, your will be done. I think this is the best prayer. Whenever you can't solve anything, or you can't complete darkness, what you can say is, your will be done. August 12th, on a passing through Krakow, Reverend Father Sopoko paid me a short visit today. I'd wanted to see him, and God fulfilled my will, my desire. This priest is a great soul, entirely filled with God. My joy was very great, and I thank God for this great grace, because it was for the greater glory of God that I wanted to see him. O living host, O hidden Jesus, you see the condition of my soul. Of myself, I am unable to utter your holy name. I cannot bring forth from my heart the fire of love, but kneeling at your feet, I cast upon the tabernacle the gaze of my soul, a gaze of faithfulness. As for you, you are ever the same, while within my soul a change takes place. I trust that the time will come when you will unveil your countenance and your child will again see your sweet face. I'm astonished, Jesus, that you can hide yourself from me for so long and that you can restrain the enormous love you have for me. In the dwelling of my heart, I'm listening and waiting for your coming, O only treasure of my heart. You can imagine she's complete darkness, just expecting, as if don't know when there was a light come in. The Lord Jesus greatly protects his representatives on earth. How closely he is united with them. And he orders me to give priority to the opinion over his. I've come to know the great intimacy which exists between Jesus and the priest. Jesus defends whatever the priest says and often complies with his wishes and sometimes makes his own relationship with a soul depend on the priest's advice. Jesus using the priest to tell the people what his wish. That's a mystery. Oh Jesus, through a special grace, I have come to know very clearly to what extent you have shared your power and mystery with them, more so than with the angels. I rejoice in this, for it is all for my good. So you can imagine, if you, a priest is not a human person, but Jesus is using him to say words for somebody. Now Faustina already, so internal inspirations, at times Jesus say, listen to him. Whatever he tell you, follow. It's a mystery, or always, all kind of mysteries in life. Can't believe. But Jesus is so great, he can just point out and so clear everything. But he just waits time, you know. This Faustina suffer, no nights. Oh my Jesus, when someone is unkind and unpleasant towards me, it is difficult enough to bear this kind of suffering. But this is very little in comparison to a suffering which I cannot bear. namely that which I experience when someone exhibits kindness towards me and then lays snares at my feet at every step I take. If people open against you, easier. But as she said, people seem to be kind to you by the back, or, you know. What great willpower is necessary to love such a soul for God's sake? You know, said someone, pretend to be kind to you, but you know that it's out of malice. But you still have to love him, love her. Many a time, one has to be heroic in loving such a soul as God demands. It can't, if contact with that person were infrequent, it would be easier to endure. But when one lives in close contact with the person and experiences this at each step, this demands a very great effort. So in the community, if someone in another ward and easier, you know, just now and then, but the one who really lacks to you, and you can see the bad intention of others, and to love that person. Faustina says it takes a great effort. My Jesus, penetrate me through and through, so that I might be able to reflect you in my whole life. Divinize me so that my deeds may have supernatural value. Grant that I may have love, compassion, and mercy for every soul without exception. Without exception. Love everybody without exception. We choose. But Jesus will say, what's the difference between you and a pagan? The pagan will do the same. If they kind of response, the pagan do it. What's the difference? Jesus is different. Oh my Jesus, each of your saints reflects one of your virtues. Not all the virtues, and we are poor. Just one of the virtues, great, right? Oh my Jesus, each of your saints reflects one of your virtues. I desire to reflect your compassionate love, hearts full of mercy. I want to glorify it. Let the mercy of Jesus be impressed upon my heart and soul by your zeal, and this will be my badge in this and the future life. Glorifying your mercy is the exclusive task of my life. So for divine mercy is for Faustina. Humility, humbleness, simplicity, St. Francis. Mother Teresa for the poor. August 15, 1937. Father address instructions. His words. These times of dryness and stark awareness of one's righteousness, which God has permitted, allow the soul to know how little it can do by itself. They will teach you how much you should appreciate God's graces. Secondly, faithfulness in all exercises and duties. Faithfulness in everything, just as in times of joy. Sometimes when you have difficulties, we stop working. Continue. Even you in darkness, continue to go forward. Thirdly, as regards the matters in question, be absolutely obedient to the Archbishop. Although, from time to time, the matter can be brought to his attention, but peacefully, sometimes a little bitter truth is necessary. This is the advice of the priest. At the end of the conversation, I asked the priest to allow me to commune with Jesus as I had done formerly. He answered, I cannot give out orders to the Lord Jesus, but if he himself draws you to himself, you may follow the attraction. However, always remember to show him great reverence, for the Lord is great indeed. If you are truly seeking God's will in all this and decide to fulfill it, you can be at peace. The Lord will not allow any sort of error. As to the mortifications and sufferings, you will give me an account next time of how you carried them out. Place yourself in the hands of the Most Holy Mother. The priest advised her. After all, live in the hand of our Heavenly Mother. So, August 15, 1937, during meditation, God's presence pervaded me keenly, and I was aware of the Virgin Mary's joy at the moment of her Assumption. Towards the end of the ceremony carried out in honor of the Mother of God, I saw the Virgin Mary, and she said to me, "Oh, how very pleased I am with the homage of your love." And at that moment, she covered all the sisters of her congregation with her mantle. With her right hand, she clasped Mother General Michael to herself, and with her left, she did so to me, my general. And she's there. Then the Mother of God said, "Everyone who perseveres zealously till death in my congregation will be spared the fire of purgatory, and decide that each one distinguishes herself by the following virtues: humility and meekness, chastity and love of God and neighbor, compassion and mercy." After these words, the whole congregation disappeared from my sight, and I remained alone with the Most Holy Mother, who instructed me about the will of God and how to apply it to my life, submitting completely to His most holy decrees. It is impossible for one to please God without obeying His holy will. "My daughter, I strongly recommend that you faithfully fulfill all God's wishes, for that is most pleasing in His holy eyes. I very much desire that you distinguish yourself in this faithfulness in accomplishing God's will. Put the will of God before all sacrifices and holy holocausts." While the Heavenly Mother was talking to me, a deep understanding of this will of God was entering my soul. So sometimes our Heavenly Mother is giving a helping hand. She's always talked to Jesus, no? But at times, in this darkness, she gave a helping hand. "By Jesus, delight of my heart, when my soul is filled with your divinity, I accept sweetness and bitterness with the same equanimity. One and the other will pass away. All that I keep in my soul is the love of God. For this I strive. All else is secondary." So it's important is to whatever sweetness or bitterness, just the same. Whatever, just the same. Peace or disturbance, just the same. One another will pass away. This kind of suffering or joy on earth. All that I keep in my soul is the love of God. For this I strive. All else is secondary. So don't get disappointed. If we are still in some kind of darkness, some kind of weakness, it will pass. August 16, 1937. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus in all His majesty, and He said to me, "My daughter, during the weeks when you neither saw me nor felt my presence, I was more profoundly united to you than at times when you experienced ecstasy, and the faithfulness and frequency of your prayer have reached me." So even though you don't feel His presence, Jesus said, is more present to you, more close to you, more in. As if he's far away, cannot feel anything. Human nature wants warmth, no? But coldness is also the presence of God. Remember that. Eh? Don't just complain, why God, where are you, where are you? And you always repeat, God, God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus will tell you, I'll never forsake you. This feeling is one thing. Put it secondary. Forever is the love of God, no? After these words, my soul became flooded with God's consolation. I did not see Jesus, and there was only one word I could utter, and that was Jesus. Can't do much, humanly speaking, after so much suffering, all weeks of darkness, abandoned as if abandoned by the Lord, you know. And after pronouncing that name, my soul was again filled with light and deeper recollection, which lasted uninterruptedly for 3 days. However, outwardly, I could still carry out my usual duties. My whole being was stirred to its most secret depths. God's greatness does not frighten me, but makes me happy. By giving him glory, I myself am lifted up. On seeing his happiness, I myself am made happy, because all that is in him flows back upon me. So Jesus sharing with her that Jesus is very happy with her, even though she suffered, the kind of gentleness, kind of acceptance. And Jesus, please Jesus more. I came to know of the condition of a certain soul and of what in that soul is displeasing God. I learned it in the following way. I immediately feel pain in my hands, my feet, and my side. The stick with the wounds of Jesus, no? Whenever she saw someone in sin, then she feels this kind of pain. I immediately feel pain in my hands, my feet, and my side. In those places where the hands, feet, and side of the Savior were pierced. At that same time, I received knowledge of the soul's condition and of the nature of sin committed. I experienced a desire to make reparation to the Lord Jesus in a way which corresponds to the offense. Today, I wrote a chain of belts for 7 hours in order to obtain the grace of repentance for that soul. In the 7th hour, I felt relief as the soul experienced in theory the remission of its sin. Although it had not yet gone to confession. For sins of the flesh, I mortify the body and fast to the degree that I am permitted. For sins of pride, I pray with forehead touching the floor. For sins of hatred, I pray and do some good deed for a person whom I find difficult. And thus, I make amends according to the nature of sin of which I am aware. So, she is doing penance for other person. See that person in this kind of sin, she do the penance for that person. It's not herself, you know. You can imagine, eh? For sin of flesh, I modify the body and fast to the degree that I'm permitted. For sins of pride, I pray with forehead touching the floor. For sins of hatred, I pray and do some good deeds for a person whom I find difficult. This is penance, eh? Not to avoid. Okay, now we stop here.